ಪಟಾಂತಿಕಂ ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರೋ ಶ್ರೀಯುತ ಪದಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರುನ್ ವೈಷ್ಣವಾಂಶ್ಚ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಂ ಸಾಗ್ರಜಾತಂ ಸಹಗುಣ ರಘುನಾಥಾನ್ವಿತಂ ಸಂಸಜೀವಂ ಸಾದ್ವೈತಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನ ಸಹಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪಾದಾನ್ ಸಹಗುಣ ಲಲಿತಾ ಶ್ರೀ ವಿಶಾಖಾಂಶ ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧೋ ದೀನಬಂಧೋ ಜಗತ್ಪತೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾ ಕಾಂತ ರಾಧಾ ಕಾಂತ ನಮೋಸುತೆ ತಪ್ತ ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಂಗೇ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನುಸುತೆ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಅದೀಪ್ಯೇ ನಮೋ ಮಹಾವದಂಜಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಪ್ರದಾಯತೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ನಾಮ್ನೇ ಗೌರಸ್ತೇ ನಮಃ ವಾಂಚಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯೇವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ನಮಃ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರಷ್ಟಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮತೇ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿತಿ ನಾಮಿನೇ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವಿ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣಿ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಕಾರಿಣಿ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭೋ ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸವಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ಮೂಕಂ ಕರೋತಿ ವಾಚಾಲಂ ಲಂಗಂ ಪಂಗಯತೆ ಗಿರಿಂ ಯತ್ಕೃಪಾ ತಮಹಂ ವಂದೇ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಂ ದೀನತಾರಣಂ ಯಚ್ಚಾಮಿ ಸರ್ವಭೂತಾನಾಂ ಬೀಜಂ ತದಹಂ ಅರ್ಜುನ ನಾತದಸ್ತಿ ವಿನಾಯತ್ಯಾನ್ ಮಯಾ ಭೂತಂ ಚರಾಚರಂ ಫರ್ದರ್ ಮೋರ್ ಓ ಅರ್ಜುನ ಐ ಆಮ್ ದಿ ಜನರೇಟಿಂಗ್ ಸೀಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಲ್ ಎಕ್ಸಿಸ್ಟೆನ್ಸಸ್ ದೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ನೋ ಬೀಯಿಂಗ್ ಮೂವಿಂಗ್ ಆರ್ ನಾನ್ ಮೂವಿಂಗ್ ದಟ್ ಕೆನ್ ಎಕ್ಸಿಸ್ಟ್ ವಿತೌಟ್ ಮೀ ಟು ಮೀ ಐ ಥಿಂಕ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ವಾಸ್ ಸ್ಪೋಕನ್ ಸ್ಪೆಸಿಫಿಕ್ಲಿ for us, because we are a super intelligent being, you know, we are super intelligent, super clever, super educated, super this, super that, everything, because today we are all living in a very scientific world. In the beginning of this chapter, Krishna has already said, Aham sarvasya prabhavo mattam sarva pravartate. He said, I am the source of everything, and he says everything emanates from me. And Arjuna had no problem. Arjuna did not go to the modern convent. He went to the Gurukul where he was taught spiritual things. So he had no problem. I see a teacher laughing there. He had no problem because he was taught spiritual things when he went there. So we went to a convent. Arjuna, that's why he said, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma. He said, you are already great. I have, not only me, the other great sages have also said that you are great. So I have no issue in accepting that you are great. And Krishna goes on further. When he accepted, Krishna went on and said, of the light, I am the sun. Of the stars, I am the moon. Of the elephants, I am the Airavati. Of the cows, I am the Surabhi cow. He went on explaining what are his great things. But then we don't accept it. You know, when I used to remember my grandfather, he used to tell me that when he went to the school, he was taught A for Atmarama, B for Balarama, C for Chakravarti Rama. But when I went to the school, I was taught A for apple, B for ball, C for cat. He used to laugh at me. He said, what are you people learning? You don't learn anything. You are all, every time you are thinking of animals, or you are eating, that's all. You will live like an animal and eat like an animal. You will not get any knowledge. He used to laugh at me. But today, I think we are better. Today, if you see, people are learning A for atomic energy, B for bullets, C for, you know, C, there is so many C. In Singapore, you can learn 5C, 6C. Singapore, there are so many C's. So we keep learning all these things. So we have, and we are taught right from our kindergarten, we are taught that we should question. You cannot accept anything as it is. You should question. You should satisfy yourself. Where is the question of satisfying ourselves? Our senses are limited. Prabhupada said so many times that our senses are limited. We cannot even see from here 30, 40 feet away what is happening. We cannot see with our eyes. But then we still think, no, no, I should know what is happening the other side. I should know. Everything should be seen to me. We believe what is seen on the TV screen. TV screen is all illusion. The next second when you switch off, everything disappears. But then we believe, we think that there should be an analysis, there should be questioning, there should be reasoning, and then only you will accept it. And here, when we hear this, Krishna says, I am of the cows, I am the Surabhi cow. Of the moon, of the, all the stars, I am the moon. Of the snake, I am Vasuki. So now our man, how can he keep quiet? He says, look, you have been telling me all along that Krishna is everything. Krishna is a Paramatma. He is present in every super soul. He is there in everything. Now, but look at this. Krishna himself says, of all the snakes, I am Vasuki. He never said that I am in all the snakes. Where is he saying here? Where if he has said that, he specifically he did not say that I am in all the snakes, but I am in also Vasuki. He has said that he is in Vasuki. Of all the cows, he says he is in Surabhi. So what is this? Then we should know. I have caught him by the point. What is this? Our lawyer is here. He will say there is some legal point. I have caught him by the collar or whatever. So, you know, this is our problem. We want to always question things. We want to accept. We want to be satisfied with our limited senses. Because we think we are super intelligent, super educated. In my younger days, I have heard of a small story. A villager was walking on a village road. And it was a dark road. He was just walking barefoot. He's uneducated. He's walking. And then suddenly he stamped over something. You know, being uneducated, he did not want to find out what it is. He just went to the side of the road. There was grass. He just rubbed his foot on the grass and started moving on. Then next comes our man, the super intelligent man. He comes there. He also walks over the same thing. Now he is intelligent. He cannot accept that something is there. So what did he do? He tried to lift his leg and see what is there. Because it is dark, he cannot see. So he bent forward, pushed his leg forward and then took it with the finger. Even then he could not see it because it was dark. So he took it with the nose and then he smelled. Oh, now he came to know that it was some dirt. Now, because he is educated, he has spread dirt in three parts of the body. But then, an uneducated person just throws everything because he is a simple man, simple-minded. He just knew that there was something which is not good. So he just rubbed his foot on the grass and started moving. Our case is also like this. Because we are intelligent, we have to question. We keep asking questions. You know, in the company, in a corporate company, if you ask questions, of course, it depends on who your boss is. If your boss likes you, he will say, oh, you see, whatever questions you ask, you see, he is super, he is a good thinker. He is able to analyze things. He is able to ask questions. But then, of course, even if you ask intelligent questions and your boss doesn't like you, he will say, yeah, this guy is always creating trouble. He doesn't know anything and he wants to. Actually, in today's corporate world, to be a boss means to ask questions. It can be any kind of questions. That is what we are taught right from our kindergarten, and we continue this habit. So that is our biggest problem. But, so Krishna must have thought at this time, he knew that we are going to be there, and we are going to go through this education system, and we will ask questions. So Krishna at this point must have felt, no, it is not enough if I just say this. Now I must tell him that I am the seed of everything. Why? Because seed is the origin of everything that comes. Because now you cannot argue. He has said that I am the seed. If you read the translation, it says, furthermore, O Arjuna, I am the generating seed of all existence. There is no being, moving or non-moving, that can exist without me. Now with this, can we ask any further questions? There is nothing that we can ask, because Krishna has said that he is the seed and everything emanates. We know that everything emanates from the seed. So we cannot do anything. Bijam means seed. So Krishna is the seed of everything. And there are various living entities. They are movable living entities and non-moving entities. Moving entities are human beings, animals, birds, bees, fish, something in the water, in the air, in the land, everywhere. But we also have non-moving living entities, plants, trees. These cannot move, but they are all there. They are all present and they are all living entities. They can only stand. Every living entity in this world, everything is contained in the 4,800,000 species of life. Some are moving, some cannot move. But Krishna is the seed in all these cases. He is the source of life. Krishna says that he is the spirit, he is the life-giving spirit. Everything emanates from Krishna. There is nothing, he is the root. Prabhupada explains that if you water the root, the tree grows. The roots maintain the branches, the leaves, the fruits, everything. Similarly, Krishna maintains us because he is the seed. From that seed the root has grown and he maintains us everything. Our Devikinandan Prabhu used to always say the source of maintenance and the source of income is always different. Initially I did not understand. What is this? If I don't earn, who is going to maintain me? You know, all of us have this problem. But remember, when we were young, we did not earn money and somebody was maintaining. Krishna had sent our parents who was maintaining. Today, people will say, okay, what if there is no parents? But then there are so many ashrams today. People are taking care. Is there anybody who is not being taken care? Everybody is taken care. Krishna provides 5 grams of food to the ant and 50 kgs of food to the elephant, the plant, to the elephant. There is no scarcity of anything. It is only us who think we are super intelligent. We have to hoard things. We have to keep it for ourselves. We want to do this, we want to do that. And that is why we are facing problems. Actually, Krishna has provided everything abundant for us. He is the father. He is the original father of everything. How can a father neglect their own children? He doesn't neglect. And he maintains everything in this material manifestation. It is said, Nityo Nityanam, Chetano Chetanam, Chetanas Chetananam, Eko Bahunam. He is the prime eternal among all eternals. He is the supreme living entity in all the living entities. And he is the only one who is maintaining all the life. You cannot do anything without intelligence. And only Krishna can give you that intelligence. If he wants, he will give you the intelligence. If he doesn't want, he is not going to give you. 10.22, he says, Bhutanam Asmi Chetana. In the living beings, I am the living force. The living force is a consciousness. Unless a person is intelligent, he cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Krishna gives intelligence, he is also the source of the consciousness. If the body has to move, then the consciousness has to be there. If I have to think, if I have to act, there has to be consciousness. When the consciousness leaves my body, I cannot think. I will be still present. I mean, the same body is still present if we think this is the body. We are still present, but we still cannot think. We cannot act. We cannot move. It is he. He says he is the life force of everything. Aham Bija Prada Pitaha. 14.4, Bhagavad Gita says, O Arjuna, I am the seed-giving father. Prabhupada explains that Krishna is the father of all living entities. The living entities are a combination of material and the spiritual nature. Living natures are there, living nature is there everywhere. In land, in water, as I said, in the air, in fire, even in the Brahmaloka, there are living entities. For all this, the source is again Krishna, Bijam. He is the seed of everything. all appearances are due to the mother, mother nature, and the father, who is Krishna, the seed giving process. The material world, Prabhupada says, is impregnated with living entities who come out in various forms at the time of creation, and it is due to their past deeds. Krishna impregnates. Krishna is the seed. Why are we finding that there are so many differences in the world? Somebody is black, somebody is white, somebody is yellow, somebody is tall, somebody is short, rich, poor, fat, ugly. Why is all this? Today, we keep hearing a lot of things about genetic modifications. They take the cells of one fruit and then combine it with the cells of another fruit, or a combination of different fruits. It's a very common feature. Today, if you walk into any NTUC or any supermarket, you will find most of the vegetables and fruits are genetically modified. Everything is, the scientists have taken, are able to take out the cell from here and then combine it with others. So they can give you a long, big banana, yellow looking banana, sweet looking banana. The original properties, of the original quality, they are not able to change. But then they can change certain superficial qualities. They give you this. It has become a very, very common thing. Now, this genetic modification is not something that the scientists have discovered today. It is there. Krishna has done it. Your karma changes the kind of body. Krishna is the original seed. But your karma changes the kind of body that you take, the kind of place that you are born in, the parents into which you are, into whom you are born. Everything is modified by Krishna. And Krishna has put this genetic modification process automatically into the system. He doesn't have to do anything. It comes in automatically. You do a particular karma and you get the result for it. You are changing your own self and you will take a different body according to the karma that you have undergone. So there is nothing that the scientists can boast of. It is not an invention. It is something which is there in Krishna, and Krishna has just given it. Only if it is there in Krishna it can come to us. So there is nothing that is original in these people. So because of the past deeds, all the living entities take different types of bodies, different types of places, different species, and we go through the suffering or enjoyment. So there is nothing that we have to blame. The seed is not defective. Seed is original and it is pure. It is our actions that have modified, genetically it has modified these. Now the original person, Supreme Krishna, is there in every cell. Elsewhere, Krishna says, Nidanam Bijam Avyayam. I think it is the ninth chapter. Krishna says that he is the resting place and the eternal seed. In Bhagavatam 1.3.5 also, the same lines appear, Nidanam Bijam Avyayam. Sukha Goswami is explaining about the creation. And then he says, at that time, he says that Krishna is the original seed, Supreme Personality of Godhead is the original seed. And then he expands into three Purusha forms. Sukha Goswami is explaining about the three Purusha forms of Krishna. The original Purusha is Krishna. The first Purusha coming out of it, the first expansion, is the Karnodakshayi Vishnu. From his, he expands as the Karnodakshayi Vishnu, and from his skin pores, there are uncountable, innumerable universes that are being created. It springs up on its own. He just comes out, and from the body it comes out. Then the second expansion is the Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. Krishna expands as Garbhodakshayi Vishnu and enters into each of these universes itself. Then the universe suddenly is completely void. It is dark. It is blank. Then he fills half of the universe with water. And that water is from his own perspiration. All this is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam. There's nothing that I'm trying. I'm just trying to repeat what is there. So he fills up half of this with the water from his own perspiration, and then he lies in that water. This water is called Garbhodaka. Then from his navel, a lotus stem comes out. And from the lotus stem, the flower, the petals of lotus, Brahma is born. Brahma is called Ajam. He doesn't have a father, he doesn't have a mother. He comes out from Krishna. From the original seed, Brahma comes. And so, Krishna is called unborn, actually. And what is Brahma's job? Brahma is the engineer of the universe. He is the creator of the universe. He is the one who has designed, created. Of course, there is an architect, there is a person who is creating something, but there is a boss who is sanctioning everything. He creates, but then it is only Krishna who sanctions it. Brahma is, according to Bhagavatam, Brahma is born out of the Rajoguna of the Prakriti or the mode of passion. Then from the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Krishna further expands into the third Purusha avatar. It is called Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. So here, when he enters into every of the universe, into every living entity, the Kshirodakshaya Vishnu enters, and then he takes complete charge of maintaining this universe. In this form, the Lord is in the form of goodness. He maintains the universe. From Brahma, then Rudra or Shiva is born, and Shiva is in the mode of ignorance or mode of darkness. He is in charge of destroying the world. But then he does it by the will of the Lord, under the direction of the Supreme Lord, Krishna. Therefore, all the three, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, are all the incarnations of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is an expansion of the original Supreme Person. It is the second expansion of original Krishna. And from Brahma, the other demigods, Daksha, Marichi, Manu, and many other are reincarnated. And then they generate living entities in the universe. So now we can see how the whole thing is coming. The reason that I brought this in is to explain, as the original seed, Krishna is there, and then from there everything is branching out. But Krishna doesn't, like a seed that is planted, if you just plant a seed, when it becomes a plant, the seed loses its identity, it becomes a plant. You cannot go and find the seed there. It loses its identity. But Krishna does not lose his identity. Krishna expands as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, enters the universes, and then he expands further as Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, and enters every living being. In spite of that, Krishna, as the original Purusha, is there as it is. He does not lose his power. He does not lose his existence. He is separate. Why? Because Krishna is spiritual. He does not lose. We, if you see an animal, or you see human beings, we come into this world, we procreate, we produce, and then we dwindle, we die. We have the seed from which I came, the original seed, is not to be seen. The moment I come out, or a plant grows out, the original seed loses its shape, its existence, or it becomes a plant. But Krishna does not lose any of this. Prabhupada explains this very nicely. He says, if you take cotton and convert it into a thread, cotton loses its identity. If you weave all the threads together, then the thread loses its identity, it becomes a cloth. Similarly, when a seed grows, and we are talking about the seeds that we see today, we should understand when Krishna says he is the original seed, because our man is always a super intelligent man, he asks the question, where is the seed? I want to see Krishna. Where is he coming in? Krishna is the original seed. He comes, he has created this world. Prabhupada, in his purport, very nicely says, everything has a cause, and that cause or seed of manifestation is Krishna. Without Krishna's energy, nothing exists. Nothing can exist. If you go to a hospital and say, oh, I have a cut here, I want it to be dressed, I want to see the specialist. What will the receptionist, the person will say? No, no, why do you have to go to the specialist? You go to the nurse there, she will do the dressing for you. You don't have to go to the specialist for this. Prabhupada is a specialist here. He is saying, no, no, Krishna, forget Krishna. Now Krishna is there. His energy can do all this. Whatever he has said, his energy will take care of this. Why are you troubling Krishna? He has expanded and he has put all these things into place. You have laws in every country. The government enacts the law. But the legislators don't have to come and take care of the enforcement. There are special agencies. There are policemen for this who will come and take care of enforcing the law. Similarly, Krishna has created the energies, and Krishna's energies take care of everything that is there. So it is not necessary that you have to see Krishna in the seed form in this. Krishna is present. So Krishna expands as the Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, enters into every living entity, and then he maintains them. Maintenance, generally we all have a very wrong notion. When you say Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, Vishnu is the maintainer of this universe. We always think that Vishnu is supposed to maintain the universe, everything. He's supposed to keep the place clean, he's supposed to grow plants, he's supposed to make sure that the vegetables are grown, rains come at the proper time. No, Krishna maintains each one of us. He is into each one of us as the Paramatma and he maintains us. All of us think that we are maintaining ourselves. We don't know today whether next morning we can get up and do things on our own. We have heard of cases where people, you know, take the food to the mouth and then they lose, the consciousness goes on. Krishna decides that he will not have his food at that time. They leave the body. I have had a friend of mine who left his body in the breakfast table. He was just taking an idli to his mouth. Halfway through, his hand was like this and he left his body. So if we think that we are doing everything or anything for that matter, we are sadly mistaken. We do not have any control over anything that is happening. If at all we get a feeling that, okay, I am driving my car, I am sitting there, I am controlling, it is because of Krishna's will. It is because of Krishna's sanction that we are there. If Krishna does not sanction, you cannot drive your car, you cannot do anything, you cannot even put a shirt on. So it is all his energies. He enters into every body and into every living entity and maintains. And just like a thread that loses its identity when it is woven into a cloth, Krishna does not lose his identity. Modern scientists have come out with a lot of theory about the creation of the universe. They say, you know, we all came from an ape. There was a big bang. And because of the pollution, some chemicals came out, some explosion took place. And then the universe was created. His Holiness Mahavishnu Goswami used to always say, if you take the contents of our body and then chemically analyze and work out the costing, we are not even worth 30 rupees. He used to say, I heard him saying 30 rupees. I do not know, with the current inflation it could be 35 or 40 rupees. That is the worth of this body. If the consciousness, if the Paramatma is not present inside, we are worth nothing. All that we try to do is nothing. So the modern scientists today say that because of the Big Bang, there should be the earth was created. I have read in some of the books published by the Radha Gopinath Mandir at Pune, Radhesham Prabhu has explained, if there is a big bang, if there is a bang somewhere, if there is an explosion, if there is a pollution, there has to be something that, I mean, in today's practical vision, what do we actually see? Is there something that sprouts out because of an explosion? No, there is only a destruction. You will see if there are two cars colluding, if it hits, then the cars get damaged. If there is a bomb explosion, the whole city, people die, the whole place gets destroyed. So if there has been a collision of two big masses coming together, where are we going to have creation? Where are we going to have human beings? How are we going to sit here and sit and listen to all this? there is nothing that we can do. If Krishna does not enter, there is nothing that we are going to do. We can keep on doing. Okay, assuming, let's take that there was a collusion. Even if there is a collusion, I'm saying that there is nothing that moves without Krishna's sanction. So even if there is going to be a bank, it is because of Krishna's will. So he is the origin of everything. He is the bijam. So without Krishna's sanction, without Krishna's energy, nothing can really work out. Bhagavatam very nicely explains that the total material energy was agitated by the three modes of material nature. Why? Because of the glance of the Supreme Lord. He glanced at it and the material nature got agitated. And because of that, the universe got created. As we saw, Sutta Goswami had already explained that the first Purusha expansion lies down in the ocean and then he glances and then the universes are created. It is only by his glance that the universe is created. And he expands and goes further into the universe and into all the living entities. So there is no concoction. Very scientifically Bhagavatam explains this. Again, because we are super intelligent, we don't want to accept. The main problem is we all think that we are super intelligent, but then we are not. So thus, the Supreme Personality of Krishna, of Godhead Krishna, he is the Sarvakarana Karanam. He is the cause of all causes. Prabhupada says that everything has a cause. In this purport, he says that everything has a cause. And that cause, or the seed of manifestation, is Krishna. Without Krishna's energy, nothing can exist. Therefore, he is omnipotent. I have gone into a lot of detail into how Krishna is present in everything, how he is controlling. He has innumerable energies, as we have seen. And all these energies are divine energies. There is nothing that is not divine. Everything that is connected to Krishna is divine. 7.4 Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Bhumi rapo nalo vayuhu kammano buddhirevacha. He is explaining the different energies. He is explaining about the material energy. Material energy consists of the five gross and the three subtle elements. Five gross elements, water, fire, air, ether, earth. And then the subtle elements are mind, body, and the intelligence, body and super, the false ego. Besides these three, material energy is described by Krishna as the inferior prakriti, the inferior energy of Krishna. But there is one more energy that Krishna is talking of, the superior energy. He says all the living entities are the superior energies. We can be very proud. We are not superior. We have got some class of difference between that. Now the superior energy consists of all the living entities. And this superior energy, the living entities, exploit the material energies. The consciousness, the superior energy of Krishna is the consciousness which we have already seen. Now that enters into the body, and the body is made of the subtle and the gross elements, the five gross elements and the three subtle elements. Only when the superior energy enters into this body, it is able to, then it exploits this body, and this body moves. So the superior energy, as Prabhupada explains, exploits the inferior energy, which is very common. Today, everything superior tries to exploit the inferior. So this is all, again, wherever you look from, whichever angle you look from, you see Krishna's action. It is Krishna who is created, exploiting the superior energy, exploiting the inferior energy. You see the mother, always she wants to scold its daughter. She expects the daughter to, or mother or father, I don't want anybody else to be there. We expect the children to listen to us. We expect the children to talk to us nicely. We never want them to back answer. But then you see the way we talk to them. First thing we do is we show an angry face. The moment we open our eyes, we show we want them to get frightened. because we think we are superior, we are grown up, and we have a control. And we tell them, the moment we look at them with their big eyes, they get frightened. And the moment they talk to us anything, we tell them, look at them, oh, see how you are back answering me? What is this? We expect, this is our natural thing that has come in, and Krishna is responsible. It is not that we have got it on our own. Krishna has got given this quality. So the superior energy exploits the material energy, and the matter cannot move. The material energy, the body cannot move on its own. If there is no superior energy in this, if Paramatma, the Supreme Person, as consciousness is not pervasive all over, this body will not move. This body will be lying here. If it has to move, the consciousness has to be there. It's a very nice example. Prabhupada says, you know, if a person is dead, we all think that we are this body. Very wrong conception. We are not this inferior energy. We are the superior energy. We will just understand and analyze that. Now, when we see a person dying, if you say, okay, so and so is already gone, but then his body is still there. So who is gone? Our forefathers, everybody has got a proper way of analyzing things. They have taught us, but then we have not understood it properly. When we say, he is so and so, we are referring to the soul. We are referring to the Paramatma, the superior energy of the person. So when the person dies, we say so-and-so is gone, which is a very common thing. Have you ever thought, why do we say so-and-so is gone? He is already here. If we have been referring to him as the body, his dress, everything is there. Only thing is, he is not moving, but then he is still there. So what is gone? We don't even, very often we say that very, very mechanically. We don't even understand what is the meaning of it. He is there very much, he is present, and still we say that he is gone. So the what is gone is the superior energy or the consciousness that has left the body. Now, nothing can move without, the matter cannot move, as I said, without the superior energy. Now if I leave this table here, will it move? Unless somebody takes it, it is not going to move. But all these energies are existent, the material energy or the superior energy are all existence because of the potencies of Krishna. It is Krishna's energy that is present. It is, as he has himself explained, it is his energy that is there and because of which we are able to do things. He is the potent. Prabhupada explains that he is the potent and we are the potencies. The living, the material and the superior energies are the potencies of Krishna. And all these energies are completely subordinate to Krishna. Without his will, nothing moves. His Holiness Mahavishnu Goswami's disciples always used to say, by Krishna's will. It is a very nice this one, because it brings that consciousness in you that without Krishna, there's nothing. Without Krishna's will, nothing moves. All these energies are inferior to Krishna. People worship demigods. People go to the demigods for various things that they do. In the Brahma Samhita, we hear of a verse which Brahma has recited. Srishti Suti Pralayasadhanam Saktireka Chayeva Yasya Bhuvanani Vivarti Durga. Durga is the Maya, the inferior energy of Krishna. But then she gives you so many things. She controls a lot of things. But the moment we forget our real identity and we fall, when we identify ourselves with this body, we immediately fall into the lap or into the care of Maya. Maya Devi takes over control. And then she tells you, now, on Saturday evening, don't come to Lakshmi Narayan temple, go to Orchard Road. That is where you can get enjoyment. Because Maya Devi is in charge. She is in charge, but although she gives you the directions to go to Orchard Road, she is still under the influence of the control of the superior of Krishna. Without her, his control, nothing can move. She has to obey his control. If Krishna decides that today you are going to come to Lakshmi Narayan temple, he will make sure that Maya Devi guides you to Lakshmi Narayan temple in whatever way and whatever form. My Guru Maharaj used to say a nice story. In US, when the movement started, all the devotees were very enthusiastic. They were adopting various methods to go out and preach, very innovative methods. So one day in a university, they went and distributed the pamphlets, the flyers, saying, today we are going to convert material energy into spiritual energy. So everybody was wondering, hey, what is this? Are they going to do some black magic? What is this? What is conversion of spiritual energy, conversion to spiritual energy? So they had invited all, most of the people came. They booked a big hall. Everybody came. So they were all seated, waiting. They waited for everyone to come, sit. And then finally, they had set up an altar by that time. They opened the altar. They had cooked very nice prasadam. They brought all the prasadam, offered it to Krishna, and then said, now, this material energy of Krishna has become spiritual. Apart from your inferior and the superior energy, there is something called spiritual energy, which everything that is associated with Krishna becomes spiritual. Similarly here, they offered prasadam to, prasadam was offered to Krishna, and immediately it gets converted into spiritual energy. Although some of them were just laughing off, it was a very good publicity. You know, they were able to invite about 500 students came in, and they got all of them. So they had nice kirtan, and because of that kirtan, a lot of people came into the movement. It was a nice example. Although, you know, on the lighter vein, it was done in a different way. The intention was real. And this is exactly what is happening. Anything that we do today, if we convert it into a spiritual energy, we have to convert everything into spiritual energy. If we use this mic for delivering Krishna's message, then it becomes spiritual. If we use this table to keep Bhagavad Gita, then it becomes spiritual. If I use this body for Krishna's service, today when I am sitting down and reciting this, or when I am reading out what is spoken by Krishna, or when you are sitting here and listening, your body is becomes spiritual. The moment we go out of this and we think of our mundane things, what do we have to do? Tomorrow is okay, rise, nice rest day. But then, oh, now Devakinandan Prabhu has already announced Bhagavatam class. What should we do? Should we take rest? I have a lot of things to do. I have to wash my laundry. I have to iron my things, polish my shoes and get ready for Monday. Who will do that job if I come here? The moment we think, we are back into the Maya's world. We come back here. Krishna is, you know, the name, form, anything that is associated. Krishna's dresses are spiritual. His paraphernalia, whatever we use, his aarti set that we use at home is spiritual. That little place that we have given in our house where we have kept the deities, that place becomes spiritual. And because Krishna is present in our house, the house gets the spiritual energy. All this is spiritual. But are we now charged to understand that? Do we have that intelligence to understand that? We can say, oh, okay, what is this? You say everything looks the same, there is no change. Krishna is there, the mic is here, I can use it for... The moment you use it for a pop song, for a disco, then it becomes material. The moment you use it for Krishna's service, then it becomes spiritual. But in our material eyes, we are not able to see any difference. We see everything is the same. Unless Krishna, in his own words, he says, I come into your... He says, charvasya saham, hriti sannivesta. You know, Krishna says, I am seated in everybody's heart. And I give you the intelligence, I give you the remembrance, I give you the knowledge with which you will come to me. So unless Krishna decides. Now what do we do, what do we have to do? So which Brahmaji explains very nicely, you know, in Brahma Samhita he says, Ishvara Parama Krishnaha, Satchidananda Vigraha, Anadiradir Govinda, Sarva Karana Karanam. Krishna, who is also known as the Govinda, is the origin of everything. And he is the cause of all causes. Krishna explains, you know, 7.7 in Bhagavad Gita. Mattaha parataram nanya kinchip asti janan dananjaya. O Arjuna, there is no truth superior to me. Now, we just have to understand the simple thing. We have to set aside, keep aside our super intelligent mind. Just get into a simple thinking mind. Understand this. Krishna, we have seen how Krishna is the superior person. He has created the entire world, the entire universe. He has entered into every one of these. and then he is in charge, he is maintaining everything. Everything is under his control. So when you have seen all this, when we have understood, and Krishna himself says, we know what how great Krishna is. So now we have to come into the platform of Arjuna. Arjuna says, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram Paramam. So we have to get into that mentality now and then accept. So then when we see everything here, Krishna says, there is no truth that is supreme to me. We have to accept Krishna. We have to just understand this thing and immediately you get liberated. There is nothing that you have to understand. There is nothing, no more knowledge that you have. All the knowledge, Krishna sitting in your heart, will reveal everything to himself. We all think as a living entity, you know, we are the creator of big buildings, skyscrapers. Yeah, okay, an architect has designed this building, he has constructed, he has made a nice temple. But then, who is in charge of the entire universe? Have you ever bothered to see who is the one who has created the entire universe? We go and see nice plants, we see the weathers, all the four seasons come in time, it all happens in place. Everything works at a clock precision mechanism. Everything works. Who is controlling all this? If I am going to be driving a car, I have to sit down in the driver's seat and drive. Without that, can I expect the car to move? If there is something that is happening, there is always a person behind it. We have to think, who is this? And Krishna has very clearly said that he is everything. So, I will come back to where I started. We have to forget our super intelligence, which we derive from the modern education. I have heard somebody saying, you know, this explanation about a PhD. I don't know, the PhDs can tell us what is the modern. I don't know the expansion of PhD. But there is something else called spiritual PhD. P stands for pray, H stands for hurry, and D stands for devotional service. All that you have to do is, if you want to get spiritual PhD, pray to Hari for his devotional service. That's it. Which is Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And Prabhupada has given us a guaranteed, confirmed OK ticket. He says 16 rounds, 4 regulative principles. That's it. Simple. You just do 16 rounds, nothing more. Just do 16 rounds and 4 regulative principles, your ticket. You will go back to Godhead and that is confirmed. If Prabhupada says that, who else has to guarantee? If God can be with us, who can be against us? You know, we have heard this quote. So if Prabhupada can say, he has given us so much about Krishna, if he gives us that guarantee, 16 plus 4, you know, in numerology, we always try to see, you know, we reduce it to the lowest denomination. We say, okay, 16 plus 4 is 20, 22 plus 0 is 2. Krishna, Prabhupada has just given us two formula. All that we have to do is just remember this. 2, 16 plus 4. And then it comes back to 2, when you check it as per the numerology. Two things, 16 rounds and 4 regulative principles. Simple, that's it. We will go back to Godhead. We'll stop here and Devakinandan Prabhu will answer the question. I'm not qualified enough to answer questions. If there are any comments from the devotees here, the I request pardon from all the Vaishnavas and the Vaishnavis here, that you may kindly forgive me if I have said anything that is offensive, irrelevant, or something out of subject. This is just an attempt in the service of my Guru Maharaj and the Prabhupada. If there are any comments or anything that you would like to add, kindly add. Over to you.
Thank you, Prabhu, for the nice lecture. I just wanted to ask that when we say some four regulative principles are mainly based on habit, to cultivate the good habit, on a regular basis to practice good things and then come to the own platform. I wanted to ask, in life sometimes, this person is actually good, doing lots of nice things, but because of some instinctive situations, he may commit like murder or some heinous activity, and then he has to suffer for lifetime. So even that particular instinctive activity, if it happens in positive way, person can come in spiritual life and he can go in a wrong way also. So Krishna is in one way completely controller of situation.
Yes.
So how do we justify that? Because he has not desired to murder anyone, but if situation happened that he has to do that. So in that case, who is the responsible?
Okay, Prabhu, Krishna is the cause of everything and he is the controller. But he also gives us independence to decide. It is because of our independence that we are all here. We were all originally, Bhagavatam says, we were all originally in the Goloka Vrindavan, happily enjoying with Krishna. Suddenly we become envious. We say, oh, he is enjoying. Now we should also enjoy. We are, as living entities, we are eternal servants of Krishna. We are not the masters. So we have to realize our position. We did not. We wanted to enjoy. And Krishna created the facility. As a father, he is loving. He lets the child go, get into the world and suffer and come. So first is, if you are, you first mentioned that, if you do, because of circumstances, we do something bad. Four regulative principles that we started off with. We need to first understand why these four regulative principles came. Everything becomes some habit. You develop habits if you start practicing something over a period of time. But then the mentality or the acceptance of that practice comes in only when you understand. If you understand why it is said. And the pages of Bhagavatam explains why these four regulative principles have to be followed. So once we understand that, we always get into this. Yes, okay, we can get into this by some special circumstances. We can get into a murder. There is a karma attached to that. No doubt you cannot escape that karma. You have to go through the suffering or whatever for every action that we do. It is not just a murder, everything that we do today. We have to have a, there is a karma that is attached. But what is a circumstance? Is that a circumstance which according to you is justified? According to the superior energy, Krishna is not justified. If it is an act of vengeance that you have done, Krishna says you should not do this. So when you have done this, when you have acted against the nature, against the principles of God, then whatever you do, you have suffering, you have to go through. But if it is something that you have done where situations were not under your control, you definitely will have to go through the karma, but then there is another chance that is given. You don't have to go through right up to the animal, the lower species, and then climb up all the way to come to the human form. You would be given a chance. Next birth, you would be born into a better family which can take you closer to Krishna. Anything else that you would like to add? Are you okay? No? I think we should. His language is better understood.
Prabhuji, if someone, is practicing regulative principles and suddenly, out of some, compelling circumstances, you're saying, he performs a heinous crime and he's punished for it. The main reason is the immutable law of karma. Karma operates in such a way that he may think that why is this happening to me or why did I actually behave in this way? But we know only our lives now, but we don't know our past karmas. Sometimes the effects of our past karmas are so compelling on us that they have to run their natural course. And that is why even Krishna was asked this question by Arjuna in chapter 6, what is it that compels us, and even in chapter 3, what is it that compels us to perform activities which even though, we don't want to do, nevertheless we perform them. And Krishna answered very nicely, that the main reason for this is coming, the root cause of it is the nature of the material world, it is lust. Propensity to enjoy, as Roji rightly pointed out, propensity to think that we are the proprietors of all we survey, we are the lords of all we survey. These are subtle reasons why eventually, in this life or next life, we may commit the offences or the breakage of the regulated principles. So sometimes we may not be fully conscious of our actions now, but we may not realize that because of negligence in our past lives, or negligence even now, of not following or not contemplating on the points of dharma and spiritual life, we may get into difficulty. But the good thing about it, Prabhuji, is that no devotee who takes up devotional service will suffer forever. Karma has its time also. You know, we are not pure devotees, so some measure of activity and force of our previous karmas are there, no doubt. And devotees very often are also put by the higher force and energy of the Lord into difficult situations for them to be tested. I remember that I remember there was a devotee who was very nice and practicing Krishna consciousness very nicely, and from circumstances just beyond his control, he ended up in jail, you know, for a criminal offence. And when he approached my Guru Maharaj, you know, he was very sad and he was very down, and he told Maharaj, you know, that this is the end of me, you know, now I'm gone into jail, my future as a devotee, you know, how can I ever preach, to whom to see, you know, and they will think that I'm gone. And Maharaj just told him one very simple thing. He said that jail is also good for devotee. Don't forget Krishna was born in jail. So anywhere Krishna has been, it's also transcendental. You should not worry too much about where you have gone, but you should worry now about what you're going to do about the circumstances which are under your control. And that circumstance no one can run away from. We can all chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, in the trying circumstances and in the best of circumstances. And if we do that, then no matter what happens, you know, even if there are circumstances beyond our control, which is good for us to realize that there are many circumstances beyond our control. Otherwise, egotistically, we think that we control so many things. Look, I'm doing the four regulated principles, I'm chanting my rounds, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Therefore, I should be getting liberation in the next 10 years. This kind of thinking is damaging to us. So sometimes the Lord, by His arrangement, you know, He wants to cut us down to scale or cut us down to size. Such circumstances which are reversals can also happen. So devotees should not lament. If anyone is in such a position, he should remember what Arjuna was told by Krishna, that you should not lament. And we also know in Bhishma Dev's prayers, you know, there is one last line in the purport of 1917. In that last line, Prabhupada writes there, there is nothing to be lamented when a matter is beyond the control of any living being. There is nothing to be lamented when a matter is beyond the control of any living being. We try so much to exert control over our lives. Only each one of us individually knows in our heart, our experiences, where we have tried to control something, but it has slipped through our fingers like sand, you know. When that happens, Bhagavatam tells us conclusively, it is not you, it is not them, it is not he, it is not the system, it is Krishna. That is why Prabhu's point here that Krishna is seed is highly relevant and practical to us in our daily lives. Because when good things happen, Krishna is not seed. We are seed. But when bad things happen, Krishna is the seed. Krishna is the seed. But we should not see Krishna as the seed for the bad things, but we should understand that they happen because of Krishna's sanction, and also because it is Krishna's way of molding us to understand this point. When I was in London with Guru Maharaj, Maharaj told me this point. He said, nature of water is to flow. Nature of fire is to burn. Nature of material world is that you must suffer. Now, if you understand nature of something, then how can you expect to live in this world and change its nature? You cannot. So once that expectation goes, then we become very serious in the devotional service. Is that okay? Thank you.
Hare Krishna. I'm going to take this one step further from this. Actually, there is I keep reading a lot of ISKCON Vrindavan, a lot of articles from ISKCON. So I'm very impressed with one of the activities of ISKCON temple in Vrindavan, that they are preaching Radha Govind Maharaj and Subhag Maharaj and some other nice Maharajas there. They are preaching in Agra Jail. Now, Agra Jail is covered. Agra Jail is one of the biggest jails in Uttar Pradesh of India. And they have about 20,000 prisoners who have serious crimes like murder or whatever, you know, you can name it under the sky. So today, if you go to the jail, it looks like an ISKCON temple. See, that is the thing, because this last year, Indra Prabhu, the 24 hours Kirtan leader, Indra Prabhu and all Maharaj, they all went to the jail and they were received by 20,000 prisoners with loud Hari Bol and Hare Krishna Mantra. They were resounding Kirtan going on. And the superintendent of police and the district magistrate and all the police senior officers, they have themselves become devotees, and there is more. And they open it. In fact, what is it?
They kept the gate open. Actually, the prisoners were there.
Yeah, prisoners were there. They kept the gate open, and you know, it's like a temple there, and nobody wants to see the jail. There's another problem though. So anyway, they are doing nice event service. You can also whenever you go to India, you can visit the jail, Agra Jail, and when they have the Janmashtami festival, all the devotees from ISKCON Vrindavan, they go there, and they you know, they have this big festival, and nobody wants to leave the jail. That's the best part of it. So everybody, even if we are in the hellish condition of life because of our mistakes or whatever we have done, even if we go to jail, you know, some devotees will always be there to come and preach to us. So we need not worry about that. And
did any Prabhu or Mataji here think that this was Sriram Prabhu's first English lecture? He sounds like he's been teaching for